Romans, please, chapter 4, verse 5. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Notice the phrase, him that justifieth the ungodly. I'd like to share with you some thoughts on God justifies the ungodly. The Lord bless his word. You may be seated. This letter Paul writes to the church at Rome will be taken by a lady called Phoebe. You'll find that in the 16th chapter. Little did she know, having in her hands, probably, that notes she would not have imagined at all, the impact that this book would have upon the world. The writing of this book itself will lay a death blow to the polytheism of the Roman world and establish Christianity in a way that has affected the world immensely. The teachings of such men as St. Augustine, Martin Luther, John Wesley, and the preaching of Charles Finney, who preached more from this book than any other, has brought revivals to us. St. Augustine was saved by reading from Romans. Martin Luther established the doctrine of justification by faith from this book. It was John Wesley who, reading the introduction of Martin Luther's book of Romans, or commentary, his heart was strangely warmed. And of course, these men have affected us in a marvelous way. The book itself speaks clearly that God is at the center of all things. He is first and foremost. You'll find when he introduces his letter, he talks about the gospel of God and mentions seven qualities about that gospel. Talks about the servant of the man of God who ministers that word. And then he mentions to us his thesis for it. He says that men shall be justified by faith. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed to us. We move from faith to faith. This gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Declares unto us that this is the emphasis upon this gospel message. Salvation unto righteousness. Men can be delivered by sin, from sin, and become right before God. Obviously, of course, there's a problem with that. The problem is this. There's a holy God and there are sinful men. How can a holy God justify those who are not so? How can he uphold a law that is holy and then ensure the righteousness of the unrighteous? Because in chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The ideal of holding the truth in unrighteousness is to suppress that truth. They will not allow the truth of God to affect them. They resist it. They refuse to listen to it. And yet in that passage he tells them that they knew God. If you will notice, he says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. God's righteousness revealed against us. And therein, because that when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. That's the truth that they hold or repress. They know that God exists, but they're not willing to acknowledge it. Even the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen and manifested. Therefore, they knew God. They knew him, but they would not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. Here's the basic sin of man. We know that he is there. We will not glorify him, neither will we be thankful. The basic problem of man is a lack of putting God first, magnifying him for who he truly is, and being thankful for all that he has provided for us. When they knew him and they could testify that he is the one the invisible one have created all the things that are visible. Then, of course, they reject that very knowledge, clearly indicated by the things that are made. And then they turn inward. When they would not glorify God, neither were they thankful, they become vain in their imaginations, and the foolish hearts are darkened. That's the result of individuals who turn away from God. You cannot think properly if God is not the center of your reasoning. If you do not place Him first in everything, you will spend your time in endless ways trying to figure out how you can make life without Him. Therefore, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How did they become fools? It's evident. Number one, they became fools because they changed the glory of God, made likened to that of man or four-footed beast or creeping things. Not only that, it says that they would change as well the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature more than the Creator. The third downward step was that they would not want to retain God in their knowledge. It is foolish. It is foolish to look at the source of life and suggest that we've all come from it by way of evolution. However, there's only two reasonable possibilities, that we came from something or we came from someone. When you deny the obvious evidence that God is there, or will not even allow God to be put in the equation, you are left with nothing but something. That is all. And that by process of evolution, we have come here. But that is unreasonable. It is far more reasonable to believe that someone is there than something is there. That is more reasonable. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It doesn't say that he says in his head, he says in his heart. Why? Because he has a moral problem. And the moral problem is this. If God is there, then we are accountable. We must ever remember that. We are accountable. We will face Him. When asked, Huxley gave the question, the answer. Why are you an atheist? He paused for a moment and then he said, the reason why I'm an atheist, because if I was not an atheist, I could not commit adultery. He was at least being honest. They were expecting to hear some kind of reasonable or philosophical answer of why he did not believe that God exists. But he put God away because he realized that he was accountable to Him.